I said the other night, there are three forces in the spiritual world that uses one brain. One is the world of angels. As to fallen angels, Satan, Lucifer. He uses your brain. He doesn't have a brain. He doesn't have a body. And he has to get into human bodies. Otherwise, he's charged with folly and he's locked out in the dry places where he cannot get the waters of life. And he has to get into a human body, even as Legion, or those two that came out of the tomb so fierce at Jesus, when he rebuked the devils and they cried out for mercy and said, if you come to torment us before our time, if you're going to cast us out, let us go away in the herd of swines. Because people are nothing but animals from their birth, nothing but animals, all are the same, and there's no difference in them. They're just among the animals. They are an animal. They failed from the lofty state of the illumination of the sonship. And until you're born again, you're nothing but an animal. And that means that the devil, he's taking his toll because he got into the beast just like he did the swine. And he's been reproducing his image and been enlarging his armies and facilities that he might take over the whole world and suppress the little flock of God, which is the body of Jesus Christ, that has invited Christ into their heart. So, Christ, he also uses your brain. In the absence of his human body, you stand in Christ's stead as an ambassador from heaven, beseeching the people to turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ and dispensing Christ to them. And then there's your spirit, which in heaven is as the angels. Angels are spirit, and your spirit is in the spirit world. And your spirit uses that brain. But Lucifer as an angel and Christ as an angel, they cannot work in your brain to use your brain unless you yield your spirit to them. Know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy? When Satan gets your attention by your five human senses, then he starts working. And he uses your senses, sight, smell, taste, hearing, whatever. Takes you into captivity, and thus you are a bond child. For some have separated themselves from the Spirit of God sensually, and they've forsaken the faith. And when we say sensually, we mean by human senses, five senses that relates to the world. And they are under bondage to eat and to drink and to see and to laugh and talk and visit, to have, to own, all these kind of things, frolics, ball games, shows, all these kind of things. And they're under bondage to that. That's their life. If their ears go out and can't hear, that's part of their life gone. If their eyes go out, that's part of their life gone. See, if they lose their feeling all over, they're dead. If they lose their taste buds, that's part of the, that's all their life consists of. It's just an animal. So essentially, Satan has separated them from Christ and eternal life. For to be carnally minded is dead. That old thing comes from the tree of knowledge. And a lot, we'd have to say, just to teach a little bit on this. So we know to start with there's a continual warfare, and this thing is of thoughts. Your thoughts, Satan's thoughts, God's thoughts. And if we had time tonight, maybe we will mention a little of it, but if we had time tonight, we'd define each one of them's mind as to what it is to where you could recognize it. That's why we need the tutoring and instruction, so that we can discern, the Bible said, between good and evil. They that have exercised their senses unto righteousness are able to discern between the good and evil. Therefore, the Bible said, the meat belongs to the strong. And if you understand this, then you can discern. You can discern. You can discern a person's heart. You can discern their thoughts like Jesus. You can discern what's in their life. God will reveal it to you because you can discern, because you have the power to differentiate between the good and bad. Like a physician, he can discern to this extent. He can differentiate between germs as living germs and germs that kill. And he knows the reaction of them. He's familiar with it, like a hunter. A hunter, he knows how to kill a fox. He knows how to go after some kind of animal or track a lion or whatever. Because he's a hunter, he's got the mind of a hunter. And he spends his life knowing that. And a doctor spends his life trying to learn to the extent that he defines diseases as to say, this is the symptoms of such and such. And he can pretty well tell you what it is, how far along it is, and how long you're going to live. Sometimes wrong. But as Paul said, as the Spirit speaketh expressly, more and more clearer. as the days go on. But anyway, in seeing all these, I'm just saying that that makes you subject to the angelic world because you are an angelic being when it comes to the spirit. Because he said, I make my angel spirit, both good and bad. And fallen angels steal your strength and they rob you and they make you feel so bad that you want to kill yourself. Are so bad to hate your wife or children. They can bring the most derogative thoughts that just puts you down in the valley to where you can't hardly go. And you might be healthy and strong. You might be someone that had a great vision. You might have something great ahead of you that God wants you to do. You might be a mighty man like Gideon when Gideon was just such a mighty man. And the angel of God come and looked at him and stood off and looked at him and said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. And he was standing there so depressed he couldn't hardly lift up his head. The enemy had come in and got his grain, got his food, his folks was hungry and everything else. But the angel saw by foreknowledge through the eyes of God that the anointing of the Lord was coming upon him and he was going to rise like a mighty man, take a few people, compass an army about and move according to the words of the Lord Jesus said to break the little clay pitcher to bring forth the light, and that in doing it he was going to overcome the entire army. A mighty man that was in shackles as human reasoning. It's his bondage, it's death. Well, we could go on and go on along that subject, but I only said that you might do a little thinking. And remember that Paul said, God is judging the secrets of men's heart by this gospel that I preach. And your thoughts, it's not what you do in the world. It's what you think. See, and somebody says, well, I don't get that. Well, let me say this much. You can sit down if you like. Satan's turned a fly loose to try to cause problem. He's an aggravating devil. He'll do anything he can to divert your attention. He's the God of this world. But to prove what I'm saying, let me say this to you. Paul had a dispute with the Jews, and the Jews were always teaching circumcision, which that's true in the natural, as to the natural covenant, but it has to do with a great spiritual sort of a thing. When it come to the dispute, he had a dispute. He said, you say the law, you keep the law. He said, none of you keep the law. You have the law and none of you keep it. And Paul said, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the fulfillment of a law, he said, are you justified having a natural law and always transgressing? He said, or are these, as to the Gentiles, are these people that's coming in, are they justified in that they fulfill the law in their hearts, their thoughts being the means, while accusing or else excusing one another, continual warfare, Satan fussing over the body, trying to get out of the dry places, wanting to get into the body, like Moses, the dispute of the body. See, when the body really belongs to the Lord Jesus, Satan stole it through his cunning device and has held it in captivity, even unto Calvary, where Jesus stopped it. But still, people, they have grace, and they're still in captivity, and they're still in bondage, because they've not turned to Calvary. They've not confessed their sins and not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as to what he done for them. So, he said, who then is justified? They by nature do the things that are contained in the law. Well, that is to say, the Bible said we have the divine nature of the Lord Jesus, that spirit of Christ that was in the body of the Lord Jesus, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, folded up and took it away. So he took us out under the law. Now, we have the nature of Christ. And everything functions according to its nature, conforms to its nature, and we have the divine nature of Lord Jesus Christ. See, he said, by nature, they do what is contained in the law, because that spirit of Christ, according to the measure of it that you will receive and let live in your body, it is living in you, and whatever you'll surrender to as to the measure of that Christ, so it is in your body. See, and you have that. And therefore, you automatically have a hunger and thirst for Christ and to do his will. Maybe a little baby, maybe just been born in, have to have the parents, just of the church, to watch after you. There are mothers in Israel, the Bible speaks of it. Paul said, I've begotten you as a father in the gospel, and that the parents should lay it for the children. But you grow older, a little older, a little older, and whatever. And as you come along, you discover the wonderful benefits that God has for you. Well, anyway, I didn't mean to get in such a lengthy thing as an introductory here, but it always helps to organize the mind, at least toward what we're going to try to say to you, that you might perceive that a little more. And it's like David tonight. I heard him as I come up out there, and he spoke about Elijah, and he spoke about the prophets, the different things. I could pick up a little bit here and there. But you know, it's like we've said a number of times, there's a greater than Elijah here. There is a much greater than Elijah. There is one here, when it comes to Elijah, he is not even eligible to wash his feet. And there is, as the Bible said, though Solomon was the wisest king that ever lived and finally got control of all the world in his day, but there is a greater than Solomon tonight, a much greater. Solomon is not even worthy for him to spit on. And somebody would say, well, now, Brother Pike, who is this great one? Well, as we would say, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. But the Bible said, none greater than John. Not even Abraham. Not even Moses, who was faithful in all of his house. None greater, born among women. But he said, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God, that is the Lord and the prophets, little John, since that kingdom is here, and that kingdom must be preached throughout the world. So he said, he that is least, that is the very least of you, just a tiny baby, if you belong to God Almighty and you're a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, you're the very son. You're the very body. You're the very body of Almighty God, and you are the body of the Son of God, and John can't even compare with you, even the very least. And so there's a greater than Solomon here. And someone would say, well, who is that? It's the great Holy Ghost, the resurrected Christ. Let's give it all in. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. How many would like to say, I don't believe that? Raise your hand. If you do believe he's here, raise your hand. All right, so then I felt David appear. And I felt the yoke broken would suit me fine if David went on minister. The anointing was already here. The yoke was already broken. And I don't feel any real hunger out of you tonight. You know, a lot of them would like to hear what I got to say. But I'm talking about hunger and thirst. And the Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after the things of God, they'll be filled. And when it comes to that, as tonight, I don't feel that here. And it's getting on toward the midweek. I can understand we've got a crowd of folks. But folks, let me tell you, you'll never get the deep mysteries of God and the revelation of the Son of God unless you get hungry. He'll never force it on you. He'll never preach it to you. He'll never give it to you. You'll never get it. You might be a great preacher. You might be exuberant. Like today when we was talking down there to those brethren. This mystery is so great and mighty. Paul spoke of his revelation. It is so great and mighty that I have literally trembled in his presence. Moses, such an awesome sight. I did exceedingly fear. And I look around at the church world as I travel. I meet people and I talk to them. I'm talking about ministers that are supposed to be the great elite of our day. And I look at them and I think, oh my God, they're still little tiny babies and they're leading the people. Churches, denominations, I'm talking about them in the Pentecostal churches that teaches baptism in Jesus' name. I'm talking about the Church of God. I'm talking about the Assemblies of God. I'm talking about the Church of Science. And I'm talking about Catholic priests and Jewish rabbis. And I'm talking about the greats and the elites. I've had conversation with them. And I marvel to think that the world today is in that kind of condition, this close to the change and to the translation. Well, it's not who that I think I am. Who do you say I am? See, they said, well, are you the Son of God to Jesus? He said, thou sayest. See, somebody said, well, now wait a minute, Brother Pye. Surely you're not going to compare yourself to the Son of God. Oh, yes, I'm a Son of God. Somebody say hallelujah. I'll just come out right and tell you, I'm a Son of God. And the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak his word. No, there's no secret about that. It's like I was telling somebody today. We talk about prophets and we have a dispute. If a man comes along and he says he's a prophet or if he acts like a prophet, I've got no right to say one way or another, you know, unless the God shows it to me. But anyway, I was talking today and someone said, I said, well, I don't say I'm a prophet. I've had a number of dreams that I was a prophet. And in the dreams, I done things and saw things that when I come out of the dream, then I found out it was a night vision. As Daniel said, I dreamed in the vision of my head troubled me. And I found out that the thing that was shown in the vision came to pass exactly to the T that he showed me what was going to happen. And then I watched it and it happened just exactly to the T, even to the life of people. See, I said, but why make a fuss over talking about the fivefold ministry? Surely today there's prophets. Someone said, well, there ain't no prophets. There's prophets, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, whatever. Sure there is. See, and then why, I said, do we make a fuss over these kind of things? And like children, we feud over these kind of things. And then there's a bunch of make-believe prophets, make-believe evangelists, make-believe pastors. You know, and then there are the real. As whatever their measure of office might be of the Spirit. And I said, why do you do that? I said, the Bible speaks of one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, even John the Baptist in the spirit of Elijah, and said that he was nothing like equal to just one tiny member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the very body. We're the sons of God. I said, why fuss about the differences between one today and a prophet back there? I said, a prophet can't even compare with a son of God. Must give the Lord a hand. You can dispute these things. You can stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, preacher. I'll say, fine, give me some verse. Give me some scripture. Take your time. Tell me. I'd like to hear about it. The audience need edifying. And if the devil jumps up out there, we'll say something and he'll sit back down. Because I've had him to do it. Had a great German scholar to jump up where I was at a school teaching as to Bible school or whatever it was as to the teaching. And he was a great Bible scholar. Great man, really. But he jumped up and said some things, and I listened at him because he's a real, wise, intelligent man. But I said just a few things, and I said, and besides that, you're out of order, and he sat down like that. And the spirit that was in contest left. Devils can't stay in the presence of sons of God. The wicked cannot sit in the presence of the righteous. I've had them to come to my sacred desk, and I sat silent. Not to say anything, so that they could do whatever they wanted to do and just try to keep things in order. And then I'd have to rise, and I've seen them run out of the sanctuary. Leave the sacred desk and run out. You resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But before you start resisting him, the Bible said, draw nigh to God. Or you'll hear him say, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? All right, why am I talking like this tonight? Because I don't feel any hunger, I don't feel any drawing. Tonight, it's a night of singing, clapping, going along, exhorting, and that's as far as you want to go. And with me, it's all right. Like a lot of great men, I've heard them come and get up behind the sacred desk, and there'd be certain nights they'd say, it's not here tonight. They'd greet the audience very nicely, and then they'd leave. You know, tonight, that's what I would be prone to do within myself. But I know that there are some hungry hearts here. But I feel so much carnality here. Not that the yoke isn't broken, because I felt the spirit, I felt the yoke broken. David, Paul, even before I came up here, I felt the yoke broken. But the thing is, though the yoke was broken, that doesn't mean anything as to you being hungry for God. It just meant that you got in the spirit and the light went right back out. See, as far as really wanting the things of God. And the more I talk, the lesser I feel that you are wanting anything from God. That's the real thing. But the same thing of revivals, of shouting and hollering and screaming and going on, and the natural exuberance of what you can mix with the flesh. All right, we're going to read just a little bit here and see if there's any sparks. If so, we're going to set a fire. If not, we won't bother you. We'll just be here a few minutes and that'll be it. Now, if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me over to the first book of John. And in the first book of John, there's something that I would like to speak to you about a few minutes if I find that I'm looking for among you. Now, in the first book of John, we've spoke about this a lot of times, and we've mentioned a few things here and there, and we've heard it, people speak on it a lot of times. But it tells us here in the first book of John, in the third chapter, the ninth verse, that whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, just that alone, if I started tonight to talk with you about that, I would probably get disputive minds, not all of you, but I would probably get disputive minds. Because in your mind, You would dispute that because of doctrines. The world is full of doctrines, and so you would dispute that. And I've had them even come to the campground and openly with me want to debate and dispute that. Because I teach that he that is born of God cannot sin. Someone would say, Brother Pike, if we hold on, we won't sin. If we continue to the end, we won't sin. That's true. But then it's not true the way a lot of people think. The Bible said, he that continueth to the end, the same shall be saved. Or endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. See, and that's true. That's true. But then on the other hand, it's not a matter of your righteousness or what you can do or whether you can endure or whether you're going to be saved or whether your works are sufficient. That's where the wrong is when people teach it according to that. It's not given to you like that to begin with. The gifts and callings of God is without repentance, which means it doesn't matter how much you repent. It doesn't matter how much you confess. It doesn't matter how much that you try to do religiously, even to repentance as obtaining part of the ministry. And like I said to someone today, we was talking about being part of the move of God. I said, well, there's people that are part of the move of God. I said, they're part of it. I said, but the only thing is, like Judas, they obtained part of it through this grace dispensation. And that is Judas, the lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, blood already in the foreknowledge on the seat of mercy. I said, but they're like Judas, though they obtain a part of the ministry, though they come in as a religious person, they might even find a title, they might even find a special place in the church. I said, but the thing is that just before the going down of the sun, God will give them the sop. Jesus will give them the sop. And when he does, they'll go out into the intellectual darkness. And this is the way it is. You come here and you can come into the light. You can come into the light because the blood is on the seat of atonement and the grace of God is everywhere. And Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. That is, he took away all sins, everybody's sins. The murderer, the liar, the cheat, the drunkard. All of those kinds of things. Now, but that was because people were ignorant of God. They were ignorant of God. See, and God brought the grace as to the blood on the seat of atonement that they might have the mercy of God, the love of God to show and lead them to repentance. Not that they had the love of God in their heart, but the love of God shed abroad, like Jesus said to Judas, friend. Not because Judas was a friend to him, but he was a friend to Judas. Knowing that he was a murderer from the start, a thief, he was a devil from the start, a robber, a thief, Satan. See, and said, I chose 12 and one of you is a devil. And yet you're right here with the 12, the 11. See, and he knew that from the start. He knew it was who it was that would betray him. And he knew that that one had to walk with him all this time. And he gave grace just as he has to all the world. They have grace. Until the time, when the time comes, but he said it would have been better for that man if he'd never been born into the world. And he that does whatever, he shall receive the greater damnation. And so then we know that everybody is not a Christian. Though everybody has grace until the day that they come to the knowledge of the truth. And this is to allow them to come into the presence of God even as Satan did in the days of Job. And they hear, and they hear. And they come in and they get washed from the wallowing in the mire. Jesus said they're swines and they're dogs. They're animals. They're beasts. Some brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And so then they come into the presence of God. And he allows that so that they can hear until every person throughout the world will receive the gospel. And then when the kingdom message has been preached into all the world, then shall the end come. And of course, I know we come up with this weird thing. Somebody said, well, they preached the gospel, but it wasn't the kingdom message. You know, and then they get going around like a dog running around after his tail in the wilderness somewhere. But the kingdom message started at Calvary. The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached and men have pressed their way into it. All those people that's preaching that was right with God, they were preaching the kingdom message. And it's just about gone into all the world for a witness. These things that's coming now as to the revelation of God where the eyes are coming open, this is not saying as to the kingdom of God message to go into all the world. That's not what it is. This is the message of the translation, to translate the church as to the few, the small, the little flock. And this is the birth of the child, where he gets his eyes open in the spirit, not as to the religious activities and the formalities of today, of the churches, of ball games and eating and drinking and lust and covetousness and all these foolishness in the world, which is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. The Bible said the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, everything in the world is going to pass away, which means the people, which means the heavens, which means the earth, which means everything. It's all vanity, vanity and vexation of spirit. All of it's going to pass away. And like I've said before, somebody in their carnal mind will say, well, Brother Pike, you mean God's going to take all of us away too? Yes and no. That is to say, first of all, he is going to take us away because we're not in the earth. We have been translated into the kingdom of God if we're children of God. And we're hid with Christ in God where the heavens have received us. And we're not in the flesh. We're not in the body. The body is dead by Calvary. Because of sin, there's a sentence of death. Thou shalt surely die when you eat thereof. And Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? This wretched body of the bastard child, of the intellectual reason, of the gullible desires of human senses and the things of the world to buy, sell, have, and hold, and whatever. And again I say, can I have cars? Can I have houses? Can I have monetary values? Of course. I would above all things that you prosper, being healthy, even as your soul prospers. But I've said again, I repeat it tonight, you cannot be carnally minded. Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap of your carnal? If other men are partakers, am I not the more? But the thing is, you cannot be carnally minded. God is a jealous God, and he's jealous over your thoughts, and that's where the problem is, it's the dispute of the body. You must be spiritually minded. You can't be automobile minded, race minded. You can't be Olympic minded. You can't be television minded. You can't be in the mind of passions and gullible desire for the flesh. God won't have it. That's demon powers that's causing you to do that. Satan saves the thing that be of the flesh. Whether it's pumping the muscles or going to the ball games or the movies or spinning the wheels or doing nothing but just visiting and talking and laughing and all day just in lasciviousness and your mind during the days of grace. Just going on and on and on in the natural sources of life, never thinking about God, never thinking about anything spiritual, never testifying of the things of God when you're supposed to be meditating in the laws of God day and night, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You know, a lot of people feel that they're not going to drink, and they're not going to kill, and they're not going to cheat and do this. And over on the corner, there's a man that drinks, sometimes even a drunkard. There's a woman over there, she is a whorish woman. See, and so like the Jews, you put them down, and you put them down. And you are a fine person. You know you are a good moral person. You've got a good name. You've got credit cards. You've got all these kind of things, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, you keep putting down the old drunkard. You keep putting down the harlot. See, where is salvation in your heart? Where is mercy in your heart? Where is that that reaches out to try to teach them or take a little time to instruct them or show them a little concern that you believe they are a human being? That's like the Jews, you know. The Jews were like that. They felt like everybody else was dogs and everybody else was swine. And they said, these people are cursed. But they thought they were the chosen of God. See, and we give every once in a while a little illustration. And we bring out a lot of times a parable that Jesus gave to the Jews in reproving them. He gave some simple things. Things that your mind can understand. My mind, the simplicity of the gospel. You know, really the simplicity of the gospel is repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Calling on the name of the Lord. Washing away your sins. And thus you become a Christian. Shall come to pass who serve a call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, and so that's easy. Don't let anybody beguile you from the simplicity of being saved. But then there's the great mysteries that God will open to you. And then there's a simple parabolic speech. The Bible said he spoke to the people in parables. Without a parable spake he not unto the people. And even the disciples said, why do you speak to these people in parables? They don't understand what you say. He said it's not given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you it's given to know the mystery. Paul said, and the mystery was made known unto me. Anyway, there is something great that's happening. Now, take the old drunkard. Jesus got so aggravated with the self-righteous people of the church. Like today, millions of people throughout the world belonging to this church and that church and another church, one disputing over doctrine here and one here. The Bible said men of corrupt minds disputed, theologians splitting hairs, as they say. And while the drunkard goes to hell and he's out on Skid Row, have you ever been out on Skid Row and preached to some of them? The harlots and the drunkards? Have you? I've been out there in places like Washington State and other places where I'd go out there to preach to them. And along about night, I told you, they would close the doors of the missions and whatever, afraid. Wouldn't get out there. And they'd advise me, don't you dare go out there. And I've been out there anyway. You know, and got to them. And God would save people like that. And He still saves people like that. He still, somebody said, that bunch of drunks ain't nothing. I found lawyers out there, professional lawyers out there. You find physicians that have been professional men. You find all kind of great men or artists out there. And they've fallen because they had nobody to help them, nobody to lead them. And they trusted in the arm of flesh and went down to Egypt for their help and thought they had everything. And then their homes blowed apart and their wives left to turn into prostitutes, or their little girls were ravished, or something bad happened. Or that is, they went bankrupt and they just couldn't take it anymore. See, great, mighty people. Jesus said, I was in prison. You didn't visit me. Bunch of bums up there, locked up, as we say. I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me, and you call yourself the church? When the Bible said the pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, and then keep yourself unspotted from the world. And you call yourself a Christian because you drop in a little money, have your penny march, do all the things that you do, and the preacher favors you because you're his favorite, because you take care of the finance or help with it and whatever. And I can tell you a preacher appreciates that because he has the load to carry. But folks, that don't make you nothing. Because you shout and sing, and even devils subject unto us in your name, they said, and they didn't even have the Holy Ghost. And they walked off and left 70 of them even after that. And Judas obtained part of the ministry. He left Jesus and betrayed him. See, that don't mean nothing. Unless you have His Spirit, the Bible said you're none of His. And if you have His Spirit, you hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you want to be about your Father's business. This churchism of today is nothing. God's going to blot it all out. Somebody said, oh no, Brother Pike. Oh yes, that's what the Jews thought. You know, the Jews thought God would never leave them. They were the chosen of God as far as it was concerned. But Jesus met them time and time again, and He said, and it was a man that had two sons. And the man said unto his two sons, go labor in my field. And the one said, Father, I go. But he went not. Another said, I will not go. Later he repented and went. Now which of the twain did the will of God, Jesus said? And they said, I suppose the one that repented. He said, thou hast rightly judged. The kingdom of God is taken from you and given to another nation that will bring forth fruit. And so it was. And they said, God forbid. But it happened anyway. He said, you've killed the prophets, you've killed the wise men, you didn't want to hear what God had to say. You had your own ideas about it, your vain jinglings, to tickle your ears and to do the things of the world. You wanted somebody to bring you something that fit in with your lifestyle of jealousy, of haughtiness, of temper, of drinking, of frolicking, and all these things that you did on your professional level. My, you'd be surprised at what's behind the scene. Like preaching down in Belize, when we preach for the full gospel businessmen there. Preach for them a number of times, California, Belize, wherever. And there while we was ministered to them, the banker, he told how dirty and filthy he had been as being their leader, outstanding leader at the bank, and how he covered up the smudges with his professional way. And that's why they boycott against you, and that's why they passed their rules and regulations like in the day of Daniel when he wasn't bothering anybody, but they made a rule. He couldn't pray to his God, but he prayed to his God anyway. And God stood by him. See, a bunch of boycotting devils in human bodies. And like I said last night, the houses that's supposed to be institution of learning is now called the houses of prostitution. What are we saying? The carnal mind that's filthy, dirty, at enmity with God, that lets the laugh, talk, joke. But people take it that you've got to be a drunkard, you've got to be a harlot. And if you're not a murderer, if you're just a fine moral person, then God favors you and you bring prestige to his kingdom. And if you can get a place among the elites, and if you can get up into the upper echelon, and especially if you've got a little money, you know, and a good name, then you are a credit to a church. Blind leaders of the blind. They lead the blind and they all fall in the ditch. God wouldn't spit on that kind of thing. They're usually hypocrites, Pharisees, scribes. They stand at the door. They won't go in. They hinder the others, and they'll compass land and sea to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell than he was before they messed with him. Now, what am I saying? Jesus said, as to these two sons, one said he would not. He repented and went. Who was that? The drunkard and the harlot. He said, I say unto you that all these religious people that say they are going and they don't, they just stand around and play religion, that never really gets down to businesses to feed the hungry, pure and undefiled religion, to clothe the naked, and to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. They don't do that. And he said, these other kind of people, he said, that have gone out, drunkards and harlots, that's been just about choked to death by the devil. And finally they hear a word and somebody tells them about eternal life. And they become broken and they think, my God, I ain't nothing. Like the two that went up into the temple and one said, I thank you, God, I pay tithe. I do this and I do that. And he told God all about himself and his self-righteousness. Jesus reproving the Jews through the parabolic speech. And then another said, as would be an old drunkard or whatever it might be, Lord, I don't have nothing to offer you. I ain't nothing. I ain't nothing. Like Paul's testimony, I persecuted, wasted the church of God. I'm chief of sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am. And yet he said, I'm perfect touching the law. You have the law. None of you keep it. But I'm blameless touching the law. Trying to do his best. He said, I ain't blaspheme. I did it out of ignorance. And I received mercy. See, and then him reproving as to this little parable, he reproving the Jews. Finally, the man said, I just don't have nothing in his words and expression. So just have mercy on me. You know, just have mercy on me. And we have a good description of that at Calvary when one thief on right, one thief on the left, and one as to over here we would say, said, and if you're the Messiah, why don't you get us down from here? And the other on the other side said, we justly receive what we deserve. We're guilty. This man has done nothing. And he said, Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This day shall thou be with me in paradise, Jesus said. That is, I'm dying for the remission of sins today. Your sins will be gone. And because you've called on the name of the Lord the way you have, you'll be with me. See, and so it was. This man that said, I don't have nothing, hadn't done any religious things. You know, so with the old drunkard and the harlot, all of a sudden he goes down to his house justified rather than the other that's done all the church things that he supposedly said he had done. So he gave another parable. He was always giving parabolic speech and reproving them. And he did that so they couldn't put their finger on him. Because if they could have found anything wrong as to him accusing anybody or saying anything, then they would have crucified him, which they eventually did because he made it very plain. But to finish his work, he kept it covered up until the right time. See, and he gave another parable, and another parable, and another parable. And all these parables he gave to reprove the people. It was an indirect speech that made a direct hit as to the target. And that's where we're at today. Without a parable spake he not unto the people. And through the preaching and all these parabolic approaches. But folks, let me tell you something. There is something deeper than a well. Launch out into the deep mysteries of God. Great is the mystery of godliness, and I am made a steward to these wonderful things. Eye hath never seen with all of the Einsteins of the world. They've never seen, ear has never heard, things that God hath prepared for them that love him. He's hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. With all their college learning, they can't get to it. See, they have the mercy, the grace, all of this poured out upon them, even sons and daughters prophesying. The last days, Joel said this. But when it comes to the real understanding of God, the deep mysteries of God, that's going to translate the church and take them into the very glory that Jesus stood in while he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, when his raiment shined as white as the light. See, they've never seen this. Higher above your head is this knowledge, as to your understanding than the heavens is the earth. Revealed unto babes. And I say again, babes is to the world. If you don't have your college degrees and all these other kind of things of monetary power, you're considered to be a babe in the sight of these great, mighty, knowledgeable ones, science falsely so called. See, and here, look at the thing that God has done for these that love Him. Here we read to you, or we say to you, he that is born of God cannot sin. He cannot sin. So I say he cannot sin. Why is it that we get in our minds like the Jews because we do some little ritualistic? Because we miss a meal or two? Oh, as the man that was there in the temple. Or because we do something of giving a little money in the offering. We go to church. Or we feel that we are a part of the sect of that hour. Or we feel that we are ministers or prophets or teachers or whatever we feel that we are. What makes us think that we belong to God? If you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. If you do have His nature, then you will conform to His way. You will conform to the Spirit of holiness and bring forth fruits unto holiness. And the end thereof shall be eternal life. For God is the Spirit of holiness. And if you don't worship God in spirit, in holiness, that's the truth. You don't worship God. You don't know God. You've never seen God. If you sin, the Bible said you've never seen God. That is, once you get a light, once you get an understanding of God, you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never sin another day in your life. And besides that, before the world ever was, God chose you in Jesus Christ, wrote your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and as Paul said, greet my women workers in Christ, whose name at that very present hour, though they were still in the world living and talking, my women workers whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, and when you think about this and think about what God said about Jacob and Esau, as to the foreknowledge of God, looking down through the telescope of time, seeing the route that they would take in their life when they were confronted as to the understanding to make a choice as a sovereignty, like Adam and Eve, as to the tree of knowledge or the tree of life. And he said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Said the children not yet having been born into the world, but that it might stand according to election as to grace, and not of him that willeth or runneth. You do not work, beloved friend, your way unto salvation. You do not sing and confess your way unto salvation. You do not do anything unto salvation. Somebody would say, well, I've got to find the Lord. I've got to seek the Lord. The Bible said, you've not sought me, I've sought you. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Somebody says, well, I have to do all these things. If I'd have not done this, Brother Pike, I'd have never been saved. Well, how is it the Bible said God saved you while you were yet in your sins? And how is it that He saved Jacob before he was ever born into the world? And told the mother that the elder would serve the younger when they were wrestling in the wombs, giving to Jacob the birthright, and told the mother how to deceive Esau. And it wasn't a deceit. To the extent, if I go to pray for you and you're up here, you need healing, and I say, God heals you. God heals you. Will you confess that? And someone would say, well, no, I feel a pain. I'm not going to lie. As I said to the other night, to the audience, what are you talking about? You're not going to lie. To confess God's Word, and the Word is the Word of truth, and the Word is what spoke you into existence, and the Word is what made the world in the beginning and put you together. And God said, I am the God that forgiveth all of your iniquities and healeth all of your diseases, and that in Christ Jesus I've taken it all away. And you say you can't confess it because there is a lying vanity of some human feeling of your human senses, which is nothing but the reaction of an animal. Somebody said, confess a lie. You confess a lie when you don't confess the truth. When you acknowledge all of those vanities, you are confessing a lie. And that's what gives strength to Satan for that human reasoning of yours to have control. When the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Cast down imagination. Every thought, a high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And the dispute is over the body. Satan stole it. And he put this infiltration in as to the old tree of knowledge and human reasoning as to the beast family. It's still under control of it today. Force by the law into the institutions as your little children to be ravished, to have dope and whatever. And then somebody like this Matlin woman that comes along, whatever her name is, as I said the other night, takes the Bible out of school. You don't do nothing about it. She overthrows the government to the extent of making a case against the president, against the secretary, against the legislation. Proves it as to her point as to the constitutional violation of the addendums that come in. Took over one little old feeble woman. And her own son mocked her. You let her do it. And then another thing and another thing. And now look what you've got. See, and look what's happened to the government. We elaborated just a little bit on the other night. We don't have time to do that because I want to stay tonight with just a simple thing as to getting over a point as to salvation. I tell you, beloved friend, the kind of believing that you have been trying to have down through the years will never translate you. It'll never take you into the kingdom of God as to the change. It'll never do it. Because you've got to have unwavering faith, unwavering faith. Even to get your healing, you have to ask without doubting. Not of a doubtful mind. You have to stay in there with faith. And faith has got to have more than your human reasoning as to your human righteousness for a foundation, or you'll never make it. And that's why that we're trying to bring forth what little we understand today as to God correcting some errors. And the Bible said they shall all be taught of God. For the minister to speak, it shall not be him speaking, but God speaking. Out of the mouth of babes, he hath perfected praise. And of course, babes there goes into three different thoughts of mine as to levels. But I'm saying this. You're going to have to come to a conviction that your righteousness is of God, that you don't have nothing to do with it. Because there's a continual warfare as to a dispute over the body. And there's something always talking in your thoughts that's questioning your sonship and questioning your right as to your inheritance. And there's something up here that's always discouraging you. Satan trying to tear you down because you are a child of God, trying to discourage you. And if he can't destroy you with these things as being overcome in much sorrow, or if he can't tear you down to the extent that you just don't feel like doing anything, the IRS ripping you up and down the back, taking every dollar you got and pinning you down to where you feel like blowing your brains out, and some do. And you can't feed your little family, and you can't do nothing. And a rotten government that stinks in the sight of God out there of a bunch of sodomites. See, and all of this other kind of stuff. And you get to the place to where you can't lift up your head. That's what Satan wants. But there's another mind. There's a mind of Christ. There's a mind of victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your believing, even your faith. As to faith, word, faith. Faith by the word, by the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. What kind of mind? It wasn't a doubtful mind. It was a mind that was convicted. It was a mind that didn't waver at any time. It was a mind that believed under all circumstances, whatever the problems was, or the circumstantial environment, it didn't waver. It stood right on the word. Even when Satan come as the Bible scholar appearance, and he said, it is written, such and such, cast yourself down from here. God will give his angels concern toward thee, a charge concerning thee, and they'll lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He didn't dispute it. He just said, it's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And on and on, he repeated the word. He stood by the word. And finally just got aggravated with the devil and said, get thee hence in. Satan, you are an offense unto me. See, rebuke the devil, he'll flee from you. So we've got to come to a conviction of the word. Not as to the heresies of today. Not as to the doctrines of devils of human reasoning and religion that's confounded and confused the entire body as to the people of the world that don't know what to do, don't know what to believe, don't know which way to go. And if we had time to detail this, even as we did some in the 4-hour discussion today, of how these things come as a derivative, what causes these things, and you could look at it so clear as seeing the deepness of it and the details, you'd say, my God, that's as clear as anything could be. See, but just running along, picking up a few fragments and dropping a little ABC 1, 2, 3, so you can try to get a hold of that, the Spirit might put it together for you, it makes it very difficult. And having to say it as fast as we do, just to get to say any little thing. See, and you say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean you've got to have a foundation, a solid foundation. When I tell you that a Christian don't sin, he don't sin. It's not a matter that he may sin. It's not a matter that he can sin. It's not a matter that he will ever sin. He cannot sin. There's no such thing as a Christian sinning. No such thing as a Christian sinning. As a matter of fact, that's why the whole world has grace today. That's why the Bible said Jesus took away the sins of the world. And that's why they're under grace and have medical aid and all these things to take away pain. Because it is a reflection of the light of understanding. That means light. As to the children of God, and I say so often that the professional men out yonder that are supposed to be so wise and Einstein, they don't know nothing. All they do is reflect. All they ever do is reflect the children of God and the knowledge of God through the grace that God has given. And just as quick as the church goes out, being the light of the world, everything goes out. And that intellectual darkness swallows them up, and they can't even find anything to take away the pain. The doctors, whatever they might be, they gnaw their tongues for pain, and the beast, in that that's all you are, an animal, unless you're born again. Their kingdom is filled with intellectual darkness, ignorance, and they can't find any healing medicine. And the Bible said in that day there won't be no healing medicine. There won't be nothing, because it's the children of God. The Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon them, make them of a good understanding. It's the children of God that have this light that they reflect. So we could say something here as a proof of that, but we don't have time to get the detail, and that's why that it's so hard to convince you of what we're saying. But if we went down the line to the things that are shown down through the years as the institutions of learning and all the other things and detailed it and gave a little history here and there, you'll say, my God, it's true. It's true. Look how far we've strayed. Even the nation, as I said the other night, founded on the Word of God. Founded on the Word of God. And look at it now. Look at it now. The same way with the Jews. The very Word of God through Moses. And when Christ, God Himself, come, they didn't even recognize Him. They'd got so far out in their thinking and got so lost off in their mind. Got so carried away in the jubilance and joy of the flesh. The gullible desires of that day until they couldn't even find God. They didn't even know God. They didn't even see God when He was standing right there in their midst. Jesus standing there said, you've never seen Him at any time. You've never heard His voice. There He was talking with them. But in the form of a servant, that they might not recognize Him, as to a parabolic approach. Well, give me a few more minutes and I'm going to close. Now, even this meeting that we're having, even this camp meeting, except God has been very good to you. Other than God has done something in Revelation to reveal Himself unto you, you don't even have the least idea what's happening here or what this camp meeting has to do with it. Even the ones that sat under this minister with a regularity, many of them have no idea. I talk to them, and they have no idea. And they talk about spiritual things. And some of them have got spiritual things. And they still don't have any idea as to what's happening. And someone would say, well, it's all spiritual, Brother Pike. It's true, God is a spirit. You know, we think it's something weird when you talk about being spiritual. We want to be natural. We want to eat. I've had people say, well, I don't want to be more spiritual. Why do you think it's weird to be spiritual? Someone goes, I just don't want to get into that. Well, the Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. So if the spirit takes a notion to leave you, you won't have to worry about being weird. They'll just fold you up and put you in a box. See, where is life? It's in the spirit. It ain't in that body of yours. Why is it weird to you? That's what we want, is the spirit. Jesus said the spirit, the abundance of life. I'm the Prince of Life. We want to get out of this old junkyard of the human body and brute beasts and all of this filth and all flesh having corrupted its way before God. And we want to get past that intellectual mind of death, of carnality, and the old tree of knowledge, to get over into that thing where Adam and Eve was at. See, the body without the spirit is dead. I want the spirit. God, help me to get more of the spirit. That's like saying, I don't want anything to eat anymore. I'm tired of chewing. So, what is this? What are we saying? Do you have any idea as to what it is? Somebody said, well, it's all spiritual. It's all spiritual as to your existence. All this world is nothing but vanity that'll pass away. But brethren, let me tell you something. This has to do with your government. This has to do with your churches. This has to do with your spiritual life. This has to do with you, your children, your family. This has to do with your past and present and future. This has to do with the very thing right now that will control the entire world. And this has to do with the change that has come in in the government that maybe you have never even caught a glimpse of. See, because you don't walk in the Spirit and you don't understand. It isn't just something in the Spirit. It has to do with your food. It has to do with your money. It has to do with your education. It has to do with the facilities of life. It has to do with your family relation. All it has to do with it. See, everything is controlled by the Spirit. And if we detailed it, it would take hours. And then when you heard it, there would be no way you could doubt it. But we can't go into all of that. Like today, 4 hours of ministering. And when I stopped, I looked at him with just what we said, and still a little bit in 4 hours. I said, how do you preach this to the church? When part is given to the singing, part is given to the testimony, part is given to trying to get the people together. And when the minister gets up there, if he has 15 to 20 minutes, or if he takes 45 minutes, he's hardly had time to say anything. You know, and I say again, the children are put in the school in the morning. They're left there all day long. They go to college. They leave home. That's all they ever do. Home, work, and study, and college. And all of this thing that they get into that's supposed to be great and mighty as to the intellectual level, learning and never knowing anything, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And we expect it to take many years of patience and money, tutoring, to get them to understand and to make them fit for life. When it comes to the things of heaven and eternal life, to live forever, to know the mighty things of God, God who made all of this as to allowance through mercy, we figure we ought to get it in 45 minutes, at least 3 services, that ought to do it. And then give the rest of our time to what we think we'd like to do, which is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, which ain't nothing, just wallowing in the mire, lapping your own vomit. See, that's where we are wrong. The early church didn't do that. Day and night they walked in the light. The Bible said, meditate in the laws of God day and night. And it says, bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And of course, it took a lot of explaining to try to explain to them that's on different levels why that is absolutely essential and cannot be any other way if you are to obtain your inheritance. Well, let's go on and close here in just a few minutes, but let's straighten this out or bring this out in a way that you can understand. He that is born of God cannot sin. Why is it that he cannot sin? Number one, the Bible says, he that is born of God cannot sin because God's seed, which is his word of spirit and life and promise, is within him. And he cannot sin because the new birth as to being born is the inner man. He is born of God and he cannot sin. And he is sealed on the inside, his spirit, by the Holy Spirit until the change or the redemption of the body, the purchased possession of Calvary, which would take a lot of explaining. See, so he cannot sin. He has sealed himself with the Holy Spirit. And it is light and darkness cannot get near it. He hath been given power over all the powers of Satan. And that power is Christ. The hope of that glory that they saw on the mountain as Jesus stood in the glory. See, and that eternal life. He cannot sin because his spirit is sealed. And the Bible said he keepeth himself, that the evil one never toucheth him at any time. I say so often, put the safeguard in the garment. The stains will come, but it won't stain. See, it's protected by the interwoven, embedded of this life of Christ on the inside, heavenly treasure and earthen vessels made manifest from transformation to transformation or from glory to glory in your mortal genes to change it into this eternal celestial body. Someone would say, well, I don't have time to hear. I've got lots of things to do. And Brother Pike, it bores me. A lot of learning causes weariness of the flesh. Solomon said so. Say, well, you've got a lot of things to do. I've got a lot of things to do. I just enjoy fishing. I enjoy ball games. I enjoy going other places, doing other things, and spiritual things to me are just boring. So what? We say, well, what do we do? Go wherever you want to go. Do whatever you want to. But remember this. Solomon said, eat, drink, do whatever you want to. But for this, the judgment is coming upon you. And you're going to answer to God and you're on your way to the grave. And you're getting older every day and you're going to die and there's not going to be any refurbishing. And then all of these things that you so enjoy, when you don't have time to listen to God, you're going to have a lot of time laid out in the grave if Jesus tarries. And if not, you're going to have a lot of time in hell. Spending time in hell, even beyond the grave, and that in eternal flames to where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. This is not some show. This is not some optional thing that if you don't want to look at Channel 5, you can look at Channel 6. See, that's not what it is. This is where we're commanded to repent of their sins. You are the creation of Almighty God. All things emanated from Him. And He sent the minister to tell you that you are dying and you're going to go to hell. And they ain't no. You can have a temper. You can spew like a Roman camel. You can dispute it. You can try to be Einstein. You can try to call it a cult. You can do whatever you want to. You can jump up and fight. You can blow the minister's brains out. But you're still going to go to hell. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Somebody said, well, bless God, if I don't like it, I'll just blow my brains out. But like I told somebody a few days ago, I said, blow your brains out. I said, go ahead. I said, that don't stop it. I said, when you're born into the world as a creature, you go on throughout eternity. Killing yourself and doing away with this little body has nothing to do with it. You still continue on day after day. Somewhere in eternity, in the paradise of God, or you continue on somewhere, someday, in the flames of hell. Tormented in everlasting flame. There is no getting out of it. You've come, you're created, you're born into the world. And if you don't do right, Jesus said it would have been better if you'd never been born into the world. Because once you come into the world and have your sovereignty, there's never no ending it after that. Turn to the Bible, you just heap the coals on. Do the things that's contrary, be rebellious, stand in the way of God. Don't listen, don't grow, you die and go to hell, cause all those problems and you receive the greater damnation. So you don't have any choice. Somebody says, well, now I'm a sovereignty, I choose what I want to. That's right. Somebody, I choose to listen or I don't choose to listen. That's wrong. You choose to go to hell or you choose to go to heaven. That's the only choice you have. So then, what am I saying? When a man is by predestination as to the foreknowledge of God, knowing his conduct through his life, when God foresees him as to the elect, then he's elected unto grace, and he cannot die. He may go to sleep as the body departing from the spirit, or the spirit from the body, and he may lay the body down to rest, and that spirit is in paradise. Lazarus died, as we say, which means sleep in that he was a religious person that loved God. And was in Abraham's bosom. That is to say, within the faith of Abraham, he went to sleep, or by this faith of Abraham, as to the covenant God made us to the promise. To sleep under the promise. These under the law died, not having received the promise, but embraced them, confessing that they were pilgrims and strangers, seeking a city who hath foundation, builder and maker is God. And, of course, we could say a lot of things there. But nevertheless, they could not be made perfect until Jesus, the promised seed, come. Today he has come. Now then we've been made perfect. Someone would say, well, I'm working my way to perfection. And that's true and that's good. The only way that you're working your way to perfection is to confident the heart, to learn the word, to understand it. We being a helper of your faith as to tutor you that you might understand who you are and what you are and what you've always been in the foreknowledge of God, in that this was given to you in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was. At Calvary the veil rent and then revealed to you down to the church ages, preached, proportionally speaking, from measure to measure, generation to generation, by the ministry until you come to comprehend the height, the depth, and the width of this great, wonderful, marvelous light that shines in the midst of intellectual darkness and those that are in darkness, the Bible said. Children of darkness, they never comprehend this light, but you do comprehend it. See, and when we come to this down through the church ages, this tells the story about the church, which we don't have time to elaborate on each one of these parts because there's thousands of things almost on every part in little detail here that would be brought in concerning just one little phase of this as we talk. Now, my people perish from the lack of knowledge. They don't understand, don't have time to listen, don't have time to develop. All their time's taken up by Satan and the lust of the flesh. So then, do you sin? How can you sin? Do you die? How can you die? Let's listen real close for a few minutes. Now, why is it that you cannot sin? God will not impute sin unto you. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin unto. Is there such a people in the world? Is there a man and a woman that God absolutely will not impute sin unto? Though they stumble around, there is. And blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. He imputes righteousness unto an individual without works. Is there such a person in the world where God gives him righteousness without doing anything as to the works? Yes. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, his iniquities are taken away, his sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He cannot sin. Why? As Daniel said, Christ Jesus coming, making an end of sin. That is to say, being formed in the image of sin. In iniquity did my mother conceive me as to the fall through Adam. And Jesus come in that form, and God killed that image and done away with that beast image. Wretched man that I am, delivered from the body of that iniquity. And my spirit is going back to God who gave it. It dwells in heaven until the time of Jesus coming and the resurrection from the dead of Revelation 19. To change this vile, wretched man that he changed through Calvary is the purchased possession of the body that we will whip by the end of the church ages. Now, where are we? Why can't I sin? Because Daniel said he will bring in everlasting righteousness. He'll make an end of sin. God smote that body that the beast got into, that ended. It's gone forever. My body is dead. He said, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and unto the world by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why can't you sin? Because sin is the transgression of the law. And Jesus saying to those people, the Jews, the law shall not pass away till every jot and tittle be fulfilled. And finally Jesus said, pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. In heaven there is no sin. See, and he said, you pray, because he knew he was going to Calvary right away. And he knew that through his death, righteousness will come as to the kingdom of God in the earth, and men would be preaching that. Right away he was going to do that. He said, you pray now, when the kingdom comes, the will be done on earth as in heaven, and the law and the prophets unto John, and then there come the kingdom, preaching the kingdom of today. Say not, as in heaven or in earth, to bring it down or bring it up. It's nigh you, even in your heart, to confess Christ Jesus. See, and he fulfilled every jot, every tittle of the law. Everything he fulfilled. And then he folded it up and laid it away, and you are not under the law anymore. And Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith of grace of Jesus Christ without the deeds of the law. For where there is no law, he said, also there is no transgression. And since the transgression of the law is sin, and the sting of death is sin, then that means that there's no law because we're dead to the law, or Christ took away the law by fulfilling it. Then we're not under the law, therefore we cannot transgress. How can we sin if transgression of the law is sin and there's no law to transgress? Tell me, how can you dispute with somebody and say, well, you do sin every day? The Bible said, he that sinneth hath never seen God. He had never known God. Said, he that sinneth is of the devil. See, and we need to think this over. You come to me, you say, well, bless God, I know that I sin. I say, well, of the devil. You're of the devil. Wouldn't you like to get born again? Or see if you might be the elect? Wouldn't you like to try to make your calling and election sure? If you can do these things, then that means you can be free from the devil. Jesus said, Judas the devil, he turned to Peter, said, get thee behind me, Satan, knowing it was also a spirit that had him. Now, tell me, beloved friend, how can you sin if transgression of the law is sin and there is no law to transgress? How are you going to transgress something that don't exist? And then besides that, how can you die if transgression of the law is sin and sin is the sting of death? Why should you be put in a casket? That's what it's all about, is to preach that away and bring you to where you'll never have to even sleep, let alone die. There's no way you can die. Your inner man is sealed within the Spirit of Christ, and it dwells in heaven, which heaven is the Spirit. See, and your body is to the creature is going to be changed into the glorious liberties of the sons of God, which is the spiritual man inside, and that Peter said, within I am a son of God, though I dwell in this tabernacle. Now, if there's no law, there's no transgression. And you're dead to the law by the body of Jesus. Jesus fulfilled it, folded up, and took it away. This is the dispute Paul had with the Jews. And if there's no law, there's no transgression. If there's no transgression, there is no sin, because transgression of the law is sin. If there's no sin, then there is no sting of death, because sin is the sting of death. And if there's no sting of death in grave, where's thy victory? Sting of death, where are you? Where is the sting of death? Where is the victory of the grave? See, it's defeated in Christ Jesus. He that is born of God cannot sin. God does not impute sin unto him. He took his sins. He took his trespasses. And this is why that we should be free from sickness. Because if Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, then sickness should have no power over us. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, everybody gets sick. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered them out of every one of them. Now, we're just human beings as to the natural, but God delivers us out of every one of them, whether we use aid or whether we don't use aid. And we have the privilege to do either one. God's not against anything that you want to do. But the thing is, your confidence is supposed to be in God. I wash my feet. I brush my teeth. I eat. I don't expect God to do it for me. If there's something that you can do to pour in the oil and the wine in the womb, he should do it. If not, then it's all right. It's whatever you want to do. But the thing is, you're free from sin. And when you get the conviction as to the knowledge of the understanding of that, in that the preacher is there for the perfecting of your faith, to bring these things as to the faith of the word that you might know this, then you've got a solid foundation. You're not going through life as a seesaw sort of a thing. See, as they say, well, I was good yesterday, ain't today. Well, I was saved yesterday, the last time, but I backslid. See, and you settle in, you say, well, my God, Lord, how can I sin? How can I sin? Where is sin? See, how can I go to hell? From the foreknowledge of God, this was given to me. And it's just come to light as to the preaching through the rent veil down through the church ages. It's just like Brother Pike and the other preachers are preaching. See, and I've got a solid foundation. I'm not going to waver. God's grace is the same every day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never alters or changes his word, and that's what the word says. And my faith is in the word. Why should your faith be up and down? Other than the fact there's something inbred within the flesh. Sin does not change. And it wars against the mind to take that body because it's tormented and it wants to get into that body. That is to say, the fallen angels. See, why should I listen to that? Why should I be of a doubtful mind? Why should I listen to that thing that wrestles with me? What's that got to do with it? Why should I give it my brain, my spirit? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Why should I worry about it? Did God lie? Can God lie? Is there anything too hard for God? It's time for the rapture. It's time for the change. It's time for the revelation. It has to reveal the truth and bring forth the truth. Someone would say, well, I dispute that. Why not stand up and tell the whole audience? I'm telling the audience. I give you liberty to do it. Why not stand up? Why not quote the scripture? Why not tell me where it's found? Somebody says, well, you said we're perfect. I say that you're perfect. Not just for now, but I say you're perfected forever. And I say sanctified once and for all. For the Bible said God has sanctified you once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sanctification. Somebody says, well, I believe you have to be sanctified every day. You do. The Bible said daily sanctification as to making this wonderful heavenly treasure on the inside manifest in your mortal genes as to surrender, going on to perfection. That is to say, bringing the body under subjection to this mind on the inside, just like any baby grows to come to the fullness. And that's your part in it, to make heavenly treasure manifested in your mortal genes. But beloved, let me tell you something. When it comes to salvation, they said, what must we do? The works of God. He said, this is the works of God. I am the works of God. It's finished from the foundation of the world. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, don't you remember that the Bible says that faith without works is dead? I remember that your faith without works is dead because you have to confidence your heart, clear your heart, have a good conscience to be able to lay hold on that. But Jesus said, Paul, now the scales has fell from your eyes as to the law concerning sin. And now you turn my people from darkness, intellectual darkness, unto light of the great wonderful knowledge and the revelation of the Son of God to the faith which is in me by which they're sanctified. And now that great faith is here. And Jesus went down the heart of the earth. He took them out of the faith of Abraham unto the promise, gave them the body of the lamb that was spotless, took away their old beast body and said, just rest a little while. Here's you a nice robe. And after a while, your brothers likewise are going to die. Holocaust, going to die through the tribulation, all these kind of things. I'll bring you forth in the resurrection. And when these others die, let them go through this thing, and then I'll bring you out. I'll bring you out. And the real faith as to the true paradise of God, which was the faith of Jesus Christ in which we rest today. See, that faith sanctifies us once and for all, purifies our heart by faith. And our little feeble efforts of stumbling and staggering, our little feeble faith of in and out and up and down, God perfects it and gives to us this wonderful thing through the finished perfect works of Jesus, through the finished perfect faith, taking away all imperfection, and He leaves it to us as to how much we want to grow, how fast we want to grow, how much time we want to give to God as to have the real faith of Christ perfected in our life, or to have this gospel as to Christ dispensed through our life to those as to the virtue coming out of our body to heal those that are around. Virtue came out of His body and healed all. For your works as to a daily sanctification of setting yourself apart, it is unto you. To perfect your faith, as to your natural faith, as to dispense. But the Bible says a good man will fall 7 times and get back up. And the Bible said, don't condemn yourself over that thing which you allow. And there it indicates if you stumble when you're trying to do your best. Don't condemn yourself and tear down your faith and let the devil in on you like a lion. Tell God you're sorry. Like Paul said, I did it ignorantly. I didn't know. And when you do know, don't do it. And pray and get strength. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Get grace. Get strength. And be strong in the power of His might by faith in His righteousness. And in closing, this is what I'm saying, is that we believe unto righteousness. Even the righteousness of Jesus Christ with our heart. We believe in what He had done in our behalf. That's where righteousness comes from. It's believing, as Paul said, a will, a desire, but I can't perform it. My body's contrary. There's something in there warring against my mind. But Jesus is our performance. Jesus is our performance, and that beast body that's contrary is dead. And God don't look at it anymore. And that old contrary mind that keeps arguing with you over your rights, let that thing be gone. Count it dead. Don't listen at it. Don't let it rain your body, not for a moment. See, so you're God's children today, you're God's children tomorrow, you're God's children forever. Forever and ever you're God's children. Your sins are gone. Your sins are taken away. There is no sin to the saint. He that sinneth is of the devil. He's never seen God. He's never known God. You understand what I'm saying? This is rapturing faith. This is a once and for all faith. This is that faith with no imperfection, even His faith. This is what has saved you and sealed you as Jacob, as to Esau, before knowledge. This is what it's all about. You've been chosen, and Paul said when he preached, them that were ordained unto eternal life, they believed, and the rest did not. And he shook his garment and said, blood be upon your own head, I go to the Gentiles. All right, you're good listeners. You listened real good. Had to do a little reproving in the beginning to get your minds. But you listened real good. I trust there's been something that's said to your edification that you might think this over. If so, then you're indebted to tell somebody else, because the rapture is at hand, the change is at hand, and it's going to take faith, unwavering and unwavering. And the only way to do that, you've got to have a knowledge that you say, well, my God, that's what the Bible says. And you quote it back to the devil when he starts charging you with sin, charging you with folly, charging you with weakness, charging you with all these things. Somebody says, well, I'm still puzzled. That's all right. It'll take roots. Just let the seed come. It'll take roots. Somebody says, well, I can't change over to that, Brother Pike. Don't try to. You don't have to make your faith shipwreck. If you're honest and sincere and listening, after a while, it'll come around. And then your faith will dig right into that. And you won't make your faith shipwreck by trying to believe something that you don't understand. Just try to understand. The righteous will understand. And after a while, that faith will lock in there. And you'll be settled down on the Word. The last days they shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, thinking they can do anything. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I can go out here and do the things of the world and be out in the world in sin, and then I'm still going to go to heaven? No. Am I going to have grace? Yes. Until you learn the truth, and it'll be cut off, and you'll be in ignorance. But can I go to heaven like that? No. If we had time tonight to preach, to let you know where heaven is and where you already are, you wouldn't even think like that. See, just thinking like that proves that you don't understand. Now, I'm talking about sinners too. See, but the thing is, If you sin, you're of the devil. If you have the nature of Jesus Christ, that nature produces the fruits of spirit unto holiness, to be holy in body and spirit. And you bring forth your fruits unto holiness from the nature of that spirit. If you have not that spirit, you're not in his. If you do have that, then comes forth your nature as to the conformity of the image and holiness, fruits of holiness unto eternal life. So it's very evident that it isn't what you try to do, what I try to do, or what God is allowing us to struggle to do. It's what he's already done in Christ before the world ever was. And he's just bringing it to our understanding. Let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, that it might be revealed to us that this mind, as to his spirit, might redeem this body and take it out of the hands of the devil. And he himself took the blood out of his veins to do the work for you. He didn't require anything to put Adam and Eve in the garden and give them everything. Why should he require anything now for you, and especially you not knowing and fail through their weakness? Why should he then put you through the fire? It's the devil doing all those things. He loves you. You're his children. You're his once and for all. And he's done the work for you, and he wants you to be back in the garden just like the millennium restoration. And he doesn't require you to do anything except believe in him, love him, and believe in what he's done in your behalf, that he might sanctify you by his grace through his work, that he can look on you, smile with you, and laugh with you. As we say, he maketh me to laugh. The writer pointed out and said, he maketh me to laugh. See, and as to the joyful laugh of God, as to the rejoicing in God, that he might be with his little family and take all of the night and the fear and the nightmares out of your life. The sickness, he destroyed it at Calvary. It's forever gone. Ever gone. Anything that you acknowledge in your life is a lying vanity. It wasn't so in the beginning. Jesus destroyed it. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I think what he's going to do, he's going to destroy it, and I'm going to believe, and he's going to heal me, and he'll destroy it. No, that's not right at all. See, he didn't come to destroy it that way. He wasn't manifested to destroy it that way. He was manifested in an image. He destroyed it once and for all. It's no more. Anything that attacks you is a lying vanity. And he said that mind that grabs your body, and though you wrestle with it, it's a demon power, and you've got power over it. And as soon as you believe, it'll go away just like a vapor. Just like that, because you have all power over it. See, and you might struggle for months. It don't make no difference. It's just a matter of your believing. See, a matter of you believing in what he has said as to believe the word. He destroyed it at Calvary once and for all. I destroyed the works of the devil. Not only that, but I destroyed him that hath power over sin. And your sins are forever gone. And death is conquered for you. Though the last enemy to be conquered as to the end of the millennium, as to the Jews, yet the body, but for you, it's already gone. It's already gone. And many things, beloved, that we could say tonight concerning the translation that some of you are familiar with, some of you are not. But the time is at hand. Let him that is holy be holy. Let him that is not holy be unholy still. Let's stand together as the musicians come back. Now, I took a little more time tonight because I had to exhort to get things right to even be able to plant a seed tonight. See, and I took a little more time last night. And the reason is because this is a different type of revival. This is just not a little teaching, a little preaching as to stir you up, to get you to sound and praise God, even though that has to be. That's the joy and the jubilance. That's the preparation of the ground. That's the breaking of the clods. That's the running out of the snakes. And even while David Paul's up here, I thought he was doing some good preaching and kind of made way as to the new ground, setting the fire, and I'd have been very well pleased if he'd preached right on. I've asked him to help me preach in this revival or here in this meeting, and he refuses to do it other than in the preliminary. Now, it would please me well if he preached the whole camp meeting, because I've been preaching all my life all the way around the world. And even though I love to expound the Word of God to hungry hearts, and it's needful that they hear it, or they're going to be lost. But the thing is, people all over the world are hungry and pleading for us to come. I mean pleading for us to come. You know, and so here it would have been such a wonderful blessing to me for David to share it. And he does share it before and after the message. He still helps me. So, who are we? Where are we? Are we really God's? Have we really passed from death unto life? Is it that we are as in Christ, so are we the same? That no one can take our life? that we can lay it down or pick it up? Are we just playing a game? Is this some kind of joke? Is our sins really gone forever? Is our sicknesses and diseases forever destroyed? And that we are following a lying vanity of mind and allowing the devil, like some kind of a scarecrow, as we say, hold us in bondage to the feeble foolishness of human reasoning? He is a fallen angel, and he is stronger than your spirit. And it takes Christ to break the yoke for your reasoning to be stronger as to the word of power. Though you know the natural word, it has to be anointed with the spiritual word of the inbred power. And when you say power, it's not by power of might, of jumping, hollering, screaming, laying hands on people. That isn't going to do anything. He said, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord, the virtue that drives out the devils. He sent his word, cast out the unclean spirits. He sent his word, and his word healed them. He created all things by his word. And when they went to get Jesus, they were shocked, and they went back. And they said, where is he? They said, never man spake like this man. Never. Are you also deceived? But the words drove them away. Badges or guns, they were still afraid of him. The great queen, Bloody Mary, that was known to be a bloody queen, mean, a tyrant, that didn't fear nothing, even the alien armies. She said, I fear John Knox's prayers more than I do all the enemy and their power. As to the armies, said, when he prays, I fear. See, the devil trembles. You have all power over him. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? The Bible said, if your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. Now tonight is a little bit different. Last night people were stirred a little bit to worship God. It's getting on a day or two into the week, and I know that you're tired, son. I'm tired. Just come back off of about a month's tour and some preaching. Trying to do what I can, preaching 4 and 5 hours a day around here before I preach at night, maybe an hour or something. See, and I know you're tired, but Jesus was tired when he went to Calvary. He was weary when he bore the cross. He'd been fasting, he'd been praying, travailing till the sweat was as the blood, and couldn't even get a disciple to stay with him during the time when he would have left to have a little consolation. Today, when he's being crucified afresh, do you have time? Do you have a place in the inn for him? There wasn't a place in the inn back there. Do you have a little time for him? Give God a little time, and like Hezekiah, he may give you 15 years. Take his time away. He may shorten your days, even by your disobedience, that he might take away 15 years. Some people that has time to praise God and take up time with God, some of them lives a long time. Some of them are dead and gone because they didn't have no time for God. It's too busy giving all their times to the lust and the covetousness of the world. And they thought, well, I can't take up my time out here with them. But nevertheless, they're in the dirt tonight because God couldn't take up his time with them. And remember, whether you are a sinner, whether you are a saint, it is the breath of life that he's given you. And like I told, I repeat this again, like I told somebody in a certain town when I was preaching in Under the Tent, and you've heard me say it a number of times, but for them that haven't heard it, they're preaching under the tent. I had my speakers turned up, apparently to them a little too loud. So they had the chief of police to come out, and he said, turn them speakers down. I said, why? He said, they're too loud. I said, I understand it ain't been but just a little bit ago or whatever. I said, and they came prancing up and down your streets and spinning their batons, half nude and whatever, and their bands and their drums, like this evil generation of adulterers, turn a radio up so high that you can hear it down there in Texas, over here in the apartment, and the light way down here at the crossroads, and you can hear it go wum, 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 till it just shakes things. And I said to him, I said, why is it too loud? Well, he said, some of the neighbors complained. I was out in a big field out here. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, don't you like living? And I explained it in my words. Yeah, kind of puzzle-like. I said, and you enjoy the breath going in and out your nostrils? Yes. I said, that's God, the breath of life. I said, now, if we don't want to honor God, he can just take it away whenever he gets ready. He left and there was nothing else said. And we went on preaching and we didn't turn him down either. It didn't bother us anymore. See, we've got to realize that no matter which way we go, we belong to God. And God's going to have his way in the good and in the evil. And if we can't fellowship God, then we can't live, because he is the breath of life. All right, let's sing this little chorus. And I thank you for the valley that I walk through today. The darker, the more I learn to pray. Found you as the lilies there blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valley I walk through today. Can you sing with me? Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. I thank you for the valley
I walk
through. Just because I slow down. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. And I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be deserts, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. And I thank you for the valleys that I walk through today. Sing it with me. Thank you for every hill I climb, for a time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew everything was all right. And I thank you for the valleys that I walk through tonight. Where will you be 1,000,000 years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? While the altars are open, if you'd like to come, you're welcome to come. Last night, I didn't pray for the people. I just backed off after we preached a little bit. And I let the other ministers pray for the people. They wanted to pray for them. I thought it was wonderful as to the zeal. And I let them pray for the people. And each night my altars are open that you may come. I've told it many times. There was a few times in my life I didn't open the altar. And I was very sorry. As to a church on one occasion, I told you about this a number of times, that at the service I said, well, nobody's interested. And I was a real young evangelist. I didn't even give altar call. And I started out the door and a woman stopped me and she said, why did you not give altar call? I said, well, I felt like nobody wasn't interested. She said, well, I was. I wanted to seek God. And she was tore up. And I walked out under those conditions. And I said, God, by your help, unless I feel different, I'll give altar call. If there ain't but one, there could be one that's searching for God. There could be one that's tore up. You might be happy. You might be sufficed. But another one may have a real battle. And it might be springtime in your life, and the birds might be chirping. But in somebody else's life, it might be a dark night of nightmare, and they're seeking just a little help. I remember on an occasion, as I said before, I worked at a mission. And I was real young, and my wife and I was working, trying to do what we could for God. And all of a sudden, a depression came, and Satan came, and he began to convince me of things in my mind that literally wrecked me. And I felt like I couldn't hardly live another day. And about that time, a little old place they had for worship, there came in a Baptist preacher, just a young boy, a Baptist preacher. That's all he was just a young boy. And he hardly knew anything about anything. But he came and didn't even hardly know how to talk about God. But it was like a savior to me. Just his few little words, it reached so deep into my heart, it burned like coals of fire. And it lifted me up and it strengthened me and it gave me new hope. And I remember those times. And God has made me stronger now. And I try to help others and I try to lift them up. So I open the altars to you. And while we're singing, you're welcome to come. And sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. Can you sing with me now? Our I've anchored my soul in God's haven doth rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest that may sweep by over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every day. And I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Can you sing with me now? So don't turn him away. Can you just stand there just for a few minutes? Let's worship the Lord. Your hearts once again. So let Jesus in to stand. Just a minute. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. If you'd like to be prayed for, come up here a little closer to the altar. Would you do that while we're singing? Come up here a little closer to the altar. Sometimes people come because they want me to personally pray for them. And sometimes I don't, and I don't mean to be contrary. I want to pray for you. But then there's other ministers a lot of times, and they can pray the prayer of faith. And we all work together. And that's why that I do what I do. A lot of things going on. A lot of wonderful things going on. The moving of the Spirit. And when you get in faith and get out of the carnal mind, the resistance is gone. And then Christ is moving in our midst. And great and mighty things is happening in heaven. Someone would say, well, you don't know, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, I do know. I dwell in heaven. I see those things in heaven. I've seen them, so help me God. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I'm not a liar. I see them. I walk in the Spirit. I talk with God. They're there. And I enjoy them in the greatest kind of way. Somebody say glory to God. And break that old carnality out, that old skepticism. And let's get in here and worship God tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. I don't want to get to preaching. I'm just trying to exhort and teach you a little bit. Sometimes to break the new ground and get the old serpents out, you have to kind of put the point in a little sharp. And as Brother Branham used to say, nail the board on so the wind don't get it. But let's love the Lord tonight. Let's worship tonight. Can we do that?
Once again, so let
him in to stay. Sing with me for a moment or two. Oh, how you need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice. And oh, turn him away. Let's sing it like this now. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Can you sing with me? Come home at supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till the evening shadows come. Then winding down that old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call, etc. Sing that with me now. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening. Come home, it's supper time. We're going at last. In memories now, I can see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I can hear once more. The banquet table is ready up in glory, and it's supper time upon the golden shores. Sing that with me now. Come home, it's supper time. Shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Can you lift your hands up now and love the Lord? Can you tonight? It's right down at the end of the trail. People who don't walk in the Spirit, they don't know that. They don't recognize that. They don't realize that. They're not hungering and thirsting for the things of God, because they have gotten so far out to fill their bellies with the husk that the swine eats. And they're so filled up with the things of the world and their own personal visage and their own bodies and the flesh, the things that Satan save us, as to the intellectual infiltration of Lucifer that's fussing over the body until all are designed in something natural. Something natural, and they're piling up the goods of the world. And they're heaping to themselves titles, all these kind of things, knowing that they're going to die and be lost and be cast into the fire. See, and while we're doing these things as to the natural, we're losing out spiritually. So here we are tonight worshiping God. Lift your hands up and let's worship God tonight. Can you? Can you lift your hands up tonight? I don't feel you moving in the Spirit very much tonight. I can tell when you're moving in the Spirit. But I do feel some sincere hearts here. And they're concerned about themselves and their loved ones. And there's just a few that's going to find this as a little flock. The world will shout and sing. The world will have preaching. And in all of this, the world is getting nowhere with religion. And they're getting involved in the world more and more. And the detriment is more and more. And the light's going out. And that's why God has given them the president they've got today. So tired of their plague around. Until he finally just turned them over to reprobate mind. Send them strong delusion. To believe a lie. And to be damned. And to turn it into Sodom and Gomorrah. Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he might burn their flesh with fire. And that's where they're at today. And folks, as I said the other night, the calendar's showing 7 years left after this. And scientists are saying that at the end of the 7 years, the world is going to come up right on its axis. And if that's true, then that means this next 7 years would have to be the tribulation. And that means that this year, something's got to happen to the church. And though you don't see it, you can be sure it's happening very clearly. And they that have eyes to see shall see. And they that have ears to hear. And something is happening. Oh, somebody said, well, I don't believe. I know that's because you're an unbeliever. But if you knew and could see what I'm looking at and what the saints of God are looking at, you'd believe all right. You'd believe all right. Wouldn't have no trouble making a believer out of it. But I'll tell you what. The Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. And I'll tell you, but when you start tasting of the wrath of God and the powers of his wrath poured out on the earth, then you'll believe. Nobody won't have to preach to you. It said, Thomas, here's the nail prints. Put your hands into them and be not faithless and believe. He said, but blessed is he that hath not seen. That's not looking by sight or walking by sight, but walking by faith. Who hath not seen, but said your word, said it, I believe it, O God. Fools and slow of heart to believe, Jesus said, as he walked along the way to Emmaus. And he said, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Why didn't you believe the word? Why do you have to see? Then he said, Thomas, put your hand in the nail print. I told you this was happening, but you didn't believe it. But he said, now here I am, resurrected from the dead. See, and one of these days, Jesus is going to look down like he did them on the way to Emmaus. And he's going to say, fools and slow of heart to believe. All that the ministers told you, all of the preaching, why did you not believe? And then you're going to be sad, but it's going to be too late. People are going to run for God. They're going to do like Pharaoh. That when he ran after the Israelites and got out of the middle of the Red Sea. And God let the water swallow them up. And you're going to say, my God, I've changed my mind. He'll say it's too late. To go into Canaan, he said, go. God is with you. You can handle it. They said, oh no, giant's too great. And God got upset and made him wander 40 long years in the wilderness. And let every one of them die in the wilderness. Never did let one of them in. Because of their mumbling and grumbling. And let their children be born. And took their children into Canaan. He swear, said because of their attitude, I won't even let them go into Canaan. I'll never let them enter to my rest. And Paul said, seeing that these did not enter into the rest of God, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. And said, you beware and you take heed. And let these things be unto you an admonishing. For these happen for your admonition, that ye should consider lest ye yourselves fail to enter into his rest. And folks, it's beautiful. I've entered into his rest. I've learned what his rest is. I understand his rest, and there's others that do. And I've entered into it. And I thank God for it. And I see thousands of people as I travel. They know nothing of his rest. They've never entered into his rest. And they're in a state of indecision, valley, multitudes in the valley of decision. And they are undecided, and they're in fear, and they're in frustration. And they don't know what to believe, and they don't know where they are and who they are. And they don't know what the future's holding, and they don't understand what's happened in the past. But folks, there's a rest for God's people. Tonight, you have a chance to enter into it. I want my minister brethren to come up here on the platform. And we're going to take just a few minutes tonight. If you'd like to come up here with us tonight. Like for my minister brethren to come. Hello, brother. Can you lift your hands up and praise God tonight?
Just remember.
Can you love the Lord tonight? Folks, let me tell you something. You're not going to make it to heaven by yourself. You people that's got this warped up thinking that you don't have to go to church, that you don't have to be part of the move of God, that you don't have to do anything, that you don't have to have any kind of responsibility as to help your fellow man and be your brother's keeper, and that you don't have to have a shepherd, you don't have to have a preacher, you can work it out yourself. And you pervert the scriptures by bringing them and quoting them, not understanding them. Paul said you rash them to your own destruction. See, that isn't going to work. That isn't going to work. You're receiving strong delusions to believe a lie and be damned. You're going to have a shepherd. Paul said, I have to present you to God in that day. Every shepherd has to present his flock to God in that day and answer to God as to the way they've been taken care of and what he has taught them. And you that don't have a shepherd, you won't have eternal life. Somebody said, well, I don't have to listen to a shepherd. Oh, yes, you do. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how can they preach lest they be sent? And how beautiful are the feet of them that publish glad tidings of great joy to them that are out there. And that he that God sendeth will speak God's word. Somebody said, well, I don't have to do that. I can get saved. I told you before, there ain't no such thing as you going and getting saved. Somebody said, if I call on God, then I'll be saved. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the Bible also says that if you call on the name of the Lord, if you don't call on him by washing away your sins, believing and be baptized, the Bible said you won't be saved. And it said, not everyone that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So Satan can quote your scripture, taking them out of their context, and though they are biblical, yet you get them all balled up in your mind and you'll find yourself lost and won't be able to make it into the kingdom of God. So tonight, you need a shepherd. You need a teacher. You need a teacher. You need somebody to lead you. Somebody said, well, not in Bethlehem. You don't have to come here. There's other shepherds. They would like to have you. They'd like for you to labor with them. You can do things for them. I've got plenty of people following me around the world. I'm not looking for followers. I didn't build Bethlehem to see if I could get a big church. If I had, I would have invited the mayor out because they wanted to come. I've had them to come out to my meeting. I could have had the dignitaries out. I could have had the popular singers out. All of these people. And you couldn't have got a car around here anywhere. I don't want that. I don't want to try to mix darkness with light. I don't want to run after the world. This thing doesn't mix with the world. This is the saints of God that we're calling to. And though we are out to preach the gospel to every creature, that those that are unsaved might hear the gospel, convert and repent. And we welcome you and we'd like to have you. But folks, that's not what we're looking for as followers. The heavens above is my tabernacle. And the earth is my platform. And all of the world is my audience as I go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I love you as my children that work with me here, but we also have spiritual children around the entire world tonight. And they would love to see us in tears, they write. And they say, I'd love to come to Bethlehem, the home of the soul. And they're even chartered charting in the name of this word, saying that our Bethlehemite brothers are our overseers, people who are Jesus' name all over the world. Not only that, but people that are called Trinity, people that believe in Trinity, don't even know anything about baptism in Jesus' name. They're charting with the government in their country and saying, this is our home, and that is our headquarters, and you are our overseers. And so goes the gospel around the world. Do you love Jesus tonight? Do you love Jesus tonight? Have you got anybody to present you to God? Have you got anybody as a shepherd that can lead you?
His way.
Somebody would say, well, I'm not going to follow a man, Brother Pike. But you follow your man, that's the worst man you could follow. You listen at what them thoughts tell you. And he deceives you every day. That's self-esteem. And Christ Jesus was a man. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So then what can we say? We are born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Christ Jesus. See, are you going to follow? Who can deceive you more than yourself? For every man's ways is right in his own eyes, but God weigheth the spirit. Are you right in the sight of God? See, are you right according to the word? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the latter times, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, past feeling. They say, well, Brother Pike, I can do anything. I can watch television and non-virtuous things and read newspaper and be interested in the ball games, and I can sip a little bit on the bottle, and I can go do all these things. I can handle it, Brother Pike. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother you because you're dead. Dead while you live in trespasses and sin, and some price dead, plucked up by the root. That is, they're already killed their conscience and will never get to God. Following after a charismatic world. What is it? Praise is comely for the upright. Where is your life unto holiness, that men may see that to be holy in body or fruits unto holiness? God is the spirit of holiness. Without holiness, you'll never see God. What are you saying, brother? What do you mean? What are you telling you? I'm telling you that that's a reprobate mind. You don't do those non-virtuous things. The Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. You don't do those non-virtuous things. That old filthy, infiltrated mind of Satan tells you in this religious cult of today. You don't do that. You serve God. You love the Lord. You hear the word. Somebody says, but I believe. It doesn't matter if you believe, the devil believes. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do good. Do well, because the devils believe and tremble. That has nothing to do with it. There's not but one faith. One faith. One baptism. One name salvation's in. And there is but one God. And it doesn't matter what you believe. 100,000 things, religious, whatever, preaches. It doesn't matter. Faith cometh by hearing of the word of God. And when you read the word, and the word says that if you understand it, the righteous will understand, the wicked will not. Then you're all right, my brother. You're all right, my sister. But search yourself. Examine yourself. The Bible said, see if you're in the faith. See if you're in the faith. See if you're in the word of God. Do you read it? Do you know it? Do you understand it? You can't understand it without the Holy Spirit. Do you have His Spirit? Have you been born again? If you're not born again, you'll never even see the kingdom of God. The eyes of your understanding has to be enlightened. I love you tonight. I'm not scolding you tonight. I'm just telling you, it's time to come out of the shadows. It's time to acknowledge the truth. And it's time for you to do something, or your grace is going to be gone. God's going to cut you off. Let's pray, brethren. Can you come up here? My brother David is singing. Let's pray for this sister. Can we pray for this sister? And those that want to be prayed for, if you want to come up here, then you're welcome to come up here. And we'll be glad to pray for you. Some of those out there that believe in prayer, that love the Lord, come up here around these people. What their need is, only God knows unless He reveals it. But I do know that they need prayer. They wouldn't be up here. And a lot of you that hadn't come up here, you need prayer. Even worse than they do. But some of you that love the Lord and you saints that want to have a work for God, that wants to do a work for God, many of you young people, you need to come and pray with these people. Many of you young boys and girls, because this is your hour in the crossing of the Jordan. The elders have died in the wilderness with their mumblings and grumblings against the ministry and the truth. and went after the world and after titles. And they went after diplomacies and they went after wealth. And they have each sour grapes, as the Bible said. Left their children's teeth on edges. And they're dying in the intellectual wilderness of their religious human wanderings. But the children are willing to listen. And the young people are wanting to learn. They haven't been indoctrinated with religious things. And all they want is the truth. They're tired of this wretched way of life, of this world of vanity. All is vanity, vexation of the spirit. See, and the young people, the young generation is getting over their old carnal mind of intellectual fad. And they want God, and they want to be used of God, and they want God to do something for them. Can you lift your hands up tonight? Can you praise the Lord tonight? Are you listening tonight to the song? Brethren, let's pray for our sister right here. Philip, help me here. Brother John, some of y'all, let's pray for these people out here. Let's lift our hands up, folks. Let's love Jesus tonight. Can you do that? Can you lift your hands up?
Oh, he touched me.
While they're singing, while they're praising God. This is camp meeting time. It's just for a few days that camp meeting is going on. And this is camp meeting time. And God wants to do something for you. God wants to renew you in the spirit tonight. He wants to heal your body and bring you out of the shadows tonight and cause you to have a new start in life, a new strength in life. And you young people, look to God tonight. He'll reestablish you. He'll rechannel your thoughts. And He'll bring you a strength like you've never dreamed of. In this meeting, if you'll lift up your faith out there, lift up your hands out there, God will deal with you individually. And some of you brethren that may not be ministers, or don't feel that you're ministers, and some of you sisters that may not feel that God wants to use you, I want you to know that God loves you. And you're just as righteous as anybody else. It's not how many years that we've been in religion. It's not what we know. It's not who we think we are. It's that we belong to God. And God is no respecter of person. And that God has perfected praise out of the lips of the children. Can you lift your hands up? Can you love the Lord tonight? Can you?
Oh, won't you have faith in God for deliverance? Have faith in God. Oh, let us have faith in God. Oh.
I'd like to pray for my grandmother who's dying. I'd like to pray for other people in Central America and most of Latin America I've seen suffer with my own eyes. And for all those on Skid Row, because I've been there and I've walked with them and I've tried to help them and nothing I ever do seems to work because they won't listen. This Reverend's the first man of God I've ever met because he talks the things I think.
Brother. Let's everybody pray together. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're getting some of the most beautiful reports in my ears I've ever heard from people around the world, even testimonies here. My wife was just telling me of one where God worked a great miracle for somebody that they was trying to tell us just in the last few days. And things is happening in homes everywhere. And God wants to do a miracle for me. He wants to do a miracle for you. Because God works by faith. And you've got faith. Somebody would say, well, Brother Mike, I don't have faith. You couldn't be a Christian if you didn't have faith. You've got a faith. You've got faith. And you've got a measure of faith. God's dealt it unto you. Enlarge that measure. Increase that measure. And when I say that, bring strength to the measure of faith. Because if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And that is to say, we do know that we've got faith because we have salvation. But strengthen that faith. It is the strength of that faith that God is interested in. Can you do that? Can you lift those hands up tonight? Can you pray for these people that are around here? While they're singing and worshiping together, lift the hands up. Let's give God a wave offering. Let's worship God tonight. Come on, folks. Let's worship God tonight.
Can you? The joy that flood my soul.
Something happened. Let's pray for our brother. Hello there, brother. Let's all pray together. We pray for our brother. Will you pray for this? Is a serious thing. The doctor has said within just a matter of months, if God don't undertake or something don't undertake, that he's going to be crippled and he's just a young man. Lift your hands up and let's pray. Have you got compassion tonight? Have you got compassion tonight? It's him tonight that the devil has attacked it, but it might be you tomorrow night. It could be me tomorrow night. Let's believe, folks. Where is that faith tonight? Where is that faith tonight? If Christ has taken away the sins of the world, if Christ has taken away the sins of the world, you don't have to worry about sins. Lift that faith up. Hallelujah. Lift that faith up. Ain't no sin out there to a Christian. Lift that faith up. Get the blessings of God. If he destroyed the works of the devil, they ain't nothing but vanity and lies. Stand in faith tonight. Stand in your place tonight. Lift your hands up tonight. Believe that God has blessed you and God loves you and God has cleansed you through Calvary. Come on, folks. Let me feel that faith tonight. Let's worship the Lord. Lift those hands up tonight. Father of heaven, in the name of the Lord, we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that Calvary makes us to know that all of the sins of Eugene was taken away with the blood from the foundation of the world. And dear God, that you have made us holy forever, perfected us forever by your own righteousness, oh God, glorified us forever. And dear wonderful God, that you destroyed the works of the devil, and this is a lying vanity, oh God. And Lucifer, I adjure you by the name of Christ Jesus to leave this body and to turn this body aloof. As these brethren speak in power through Christ, and the Lord commandeth thee in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! I feel God. Don't you feel God? I feel the presence of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. I feel the presence of God. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to do it. Tonight, God is here. God is moving. This is camp meeting. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship. Can you worship the Lord? God is a spirit. He inhabits the praise of his people. He is a spirit. You don't see him naturally, but he's all through here inhabiting the praise of his people. Wouldn't you like to help give him a place? There is no place in the inn, but when you have a voice of worship, when you lift your hands up to worship, he's got a place. In the end of the world, he's got a place. He's got a place in Bethlehem in your heart. He's got a place in the world in your heart. He's searching for a heart, knocking on the door, wanting to come in. Lift up those hands tonight and let's serve the God that we love and know is the power and righteousness unto salvation. Can we do that? Lift your hands up. You people back there in the audience, just because you're back there, that don't mean you should not praise God. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise God. Lift up your hands tonight. Somebody says, well, I'm a sinner. You still got breath. And you're still using God's life. You owe God some praise tonight. You owe God some praise tonight. Remember that. You owe God some praise. He's let you live. He's let your children live. He's blessed you. He's let you see. He's given you ears to hear. Somebody say glory to God. Say hallelujah. Let's worship God tonight.
Oh, leave it there. that there. Oh, take your.
He just wants to know that you're for real. That's all. Lift your hands up and love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you believe tonight? Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Do you believe tonight? Folks, I believe. I believe. I believe tonight. Somebody says, oh no. Oh yes, I do. Oh yes, I do. And it makes me happy. It makes me full of the joy of the Lord. It makes me feel the power of God surging through my body and through my mind. It makes that assurance and the affirmative that tells me I'm a son of God and the devils have to get out of our way. Somebody praise God. Somebody lift up your hands. Give him a wave offering. Do something out there to worship God. That's right. Do something to worship God. Let's worship God tonight. Let's worship God tonight. I'm tarrying a little longer tonight so the yoke will be broken so we can get an experience. Folks, there's still a few days of camp meeting left. There's people coming in here from all around. Numbers and numbers of people have already come and gone that come from many miles out of other states that sent us word that they were here. Some have never been to Bethlehem before, and they've been worshiping God with us, and they wanted to stay longer and couldn't. And others are coming in, and others are promising to come in, and some's calling as from foreign countries. They want to come in. They want to be with you. You're privileged tonight. We're privileged tonight. With the government going like it is, and here you've discovered the government of God, and you've discovered a new world, and you're crossing over out of this. You are a fortunate people tonight. You're the light of the earth. You're pillars in God's temple tonight. You're the testimony. You're the body of Christ. You're to rise and take the kingdom of this world and possess those kingdoms forever and ever. And there's nothing that can stand before you. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're sons of God tonight. You're daughters of God tonight. The whole world will have to come and bow down before you because you are the sons of God. And God will suddenly return in his temple. We come to his temple. And they'll have to come and kneel at your feet and know that God has loved you.
Oh, we shall wear a crown. I said, we shall wear a crown.
In the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown.
Wear a crown.
Wear the bride. And shine, you cry. Can you sing with me? Sing with me, David.
The battle is over.
We shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Do you want a crown? Will you wear a crown? Do you want a crown? Paul said, henceforth there is a crown laid up for me. And everyone that will do the will of God, there's a crown for you. Someone would say, what kind of crown, Brother Pike? He's going to crown your soul with everlasting life. And every soul that you win is going to be a jewel in your crown of the radiance of that great light in that day to come. And you're going to be strong. And you're going to be young. And you're going to be wealthy. And you're going to be alive forevermore. Somebody said, when? They that believe already are. You just don't see it yet. Somebody said, well, that's because it ain't come. That's because you don't understand. You can be sure that it's already here. Already here. All together. Already here. What do I have to believe for then, Brother Pike, to make it manifest as this heavenly treasure that's already in your earthen vessel, to make it manifest in your mortal genes? You're already sons of God by the stripes of Christ, by his works. Will you claim it by faith tonight? If you don't claim it by faith, you don't get the inheritance. All of the people that's making believe won't get it. They'll get the blessing out here, but they won't never get that crown. They won't never get to be sons of God. See, you got to believe it. You got to be convicted. You got to be convinced. You got to believe in the Word of God. Do you believe tonight? Does your very soul go out to God? Does your very soul go out to God tonight? Let your faith out tonight. Let your spirit out tonight. God is a spirit. You worship God in spirit. You worship God in spirit. Worship God in faith tonight. Can you lift your hands up? Can you lift your hands up? Can you serve God? Do you feel revival? Do you feel the yoke broken? Do you feel revival? Do you feel revival in your own soul? Do you feel revival in your own heart? Do you feel revival in your faith tonight? Have you been revived tonight? Are you being revived tonight? If you are, show your light tonight and let somebody see it. Hallelujah. Show your faith tonight and let somebody see it. Lift those hands up. Give God a wave offering tonight. Hallelujah.